encouragement as she thundered up and down the touchline tended towards the nature of, "Get some ball, you bunch of soft Nellies!" Miss Butts and Miss Delcross kept their windows closed on games afternoon. Miss Butts ferociously read logic, and Miss Delcross, in her idea of a toga, practiced eurythmics in the gym. Susan surprised people by being good at sport. Some sport, anyway. Hockey, lacrosse and rounders, certainly. Any game that involved putting a stick of some sort in her hands and asking her to swing it, definitely. The sight of Susan advancing towards goal with a calculating look made any goalie lose all faith in her protective padding and throw herself flat as the ball flashed past at waist height, making a humming noise. It was only evidence of the general stupidity of the rest of humanity, Susan considered, that although she was manifestly one of the best players in the school, she never got picked for teams. Even fat girls with spots got picked before her. It was so infuriatingly unreasonable, and she could never understand why. She'd explained to other girls how good she was, and demonstrated her skill, and pointed out just how stupid they were in not picking her. For some exasperating reason, it didn't seem to have any effect. This afternoon, she went for an official walk instead. This was an acceptable alternative, provided girls went in company. Usually they went into town and bought stale fish and chips from an unfragrant shop in the Three Roses Alley. Fried food was considered unhealthy by Miss Butts, and therefore bought out of school at every opportunity. Girls had to walk in groups of three or more. Peril, in Miss Butts's conjectural experience, couldn't happen to units of more than two. In any case, it was certainly unlikely to happen to any group that contained Princess Jade and Gloria Thog's daughter. The school's owners had been a bit bothered about taking a troll, but Jade's father was king of an entire mountain, and it always looked good to have royalty on the roll. And besides, Miss Butts had remarked to Miss Delcross, it's our duty to encourage them if they show any inclination to become real people, and the king is actually quite charming and assures me he can't even remember when he last ate anyone. Jade had bad eyesight, a note excusing her from unnecessary sunshine, and knitted chainmail in handicraft class. Whereas Gloria was banned from sport because of her tendency to use her axe in a threatening manner. Miss Butts had suggested that an axe wasn't a ladylike weapon, even for a dwarf, but Gloria had pointed out that, on the contrary, it had been left to her by her grandmother, who had owned it all her life and polished it every Saturday, even if she hadn't used it at all that week. There was something about the way she gripped it that made even Miss Butts give in. To show willing, Gloria left off her iron helmet, and while not shaving off her beard — there was no actual rule about girls not having beards a foot long — at least plaited it, and tied it in ribbons in the school colours. Susan felt strangely at home in their company, and this had earned guarded praise from Miss Butts. It was nice of her to be such a chum, she said. Susan had been surprised. It had never occurred to her that anyone actually said a word like chum. The three of them trailed back along the beach drive by the playing field. "I don't understand sport," said Gloria, watching the gaggle of panting young women stampeding across the pitch. "There's a troll game," said Jade. "It's called Agia." "How's it played?" said Susan. You rip off a human's head and kick it around with special boots made of obsidian until you score a goal or it bursts. But it's not played anymore, of course," she added quickly.
"I should think not," said Susan.
"No one knows how to make the boots, I expect," said Gloria.
"I expect if it was played now, someone like Iron Lily would go running up and down the touchline shouting, 'Get some head, you soft Nellies,'" said Jade.
They walked in silence for a while.
"I think," said Gloria cautiously, "that she probably wouldn't, actually."
"I say, you two haven't noticed anything odd lately, have you?" said Susan.
"Odd like what?" said Gloria.
"Well, like rats," said Susan.
"Haven't seen any rats in the school," said Gloria, "and I've had a good look."
"I mean, strange rats," said Susan.
They were level with the stables. These were normally the home of the two horses that pulled the school coach, and the term-time residence of a few horses belonging to girls who couldn't be parted from them. There is a type of girl who, while incapable of cleaning her bedroom even at knife point, will fight for the privilege of being allowed to spend the day shovelling manure in a stable. It was a magic that hadn't rubbed off on Susan. She had nothing against horses, but couldn't understand all the snaffles, bridles and fetlocks business. And she couldn't see why they had to be measured in hands, when there were perfectly sensible inches around to do the job. Having watched the Jodhpur girls who bustled around the stables, she decided it was because they couldn't understand complicated machines
like rulers.